This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
We kind of battled all week long about what we were going to talk about. It's still a little early in spring training. I want to start you off with something here because I know you've been feeding me stuff all week long about your guys and people that are doing pretty well and people you're excited about. So who looks good from the pitching and hitting standpoint? What are some highlights that you picked up in this past week? Maybe we didn't see in week one.
Great question, Chet. I'm going to tell you who looks good, and it's no surprise because he was my guy from week one, and I'm going to keep riding number 87, Tyler Horton.
Oh,
he's been lights out. In addition to that, Chet, the starting pitching's been nothing short of sublime. Every starting pitcher that we have slated to go for our Detroit Tigers, our Motown Kitties, looks really, really good.
Yeah.
The vexing problem might be who is the odd man out.
Yeah.
Because right now, I am counting 7 starters for 5 rotational spots. That being that your guy, former Twin, Maeda, has pitched pretty well that we touched on last week. And Casey Mize has been nothing short of a revelation. In addition, Jackson Jobe has thrown nothing but gas. And we still don't know what we're going to get from Alex Cobb, who's injured, but at the money they're paying him, you would think he's going to have a rotational spot, you know, locked in, when healthy. Your thoughts?
I get where you're going with the improvement. I agree on everything you're saying there. Maeda had a rough game the other day. He gave up a couple gopher balls. I know one or two of them would not have gone out, even at Yankee Stadium. I think they were playing the Yankees that day.
They were.
And they even said they're like, you know, a couple of these wouldn't even have gone out in the major league park, but they went out that day. And he gave up 3 of them. So he had like 3 home runs, Ks, something along those lines, which I, you know what? It's Kenta. He's going to give up the deep ball. That's kind of what he does. People take him bridge. That's his deal. And that's kind of what you get with him and why I think he's probably no better than a 5 spot starter on this team and maybe a swing guy type deal. I'd rather see him in the middle relief. When we're up by a lot of runs?
I think he starts games, but only because other arms are not ready. Aside from that, I think he's firmly slotted for long relief. And when we go into our projected 26-man opening day rosters, that's where I have him slotted.
Okay. Okay. I mean, he's like, let's put it this way. He's probably got some of the most innings out of any pitcher. I think he's got some of the most innings of any National League pitcher right now. I think he's second behind Yamamoto. He's got 12.2 innings pitched in the spring. So they're giving him every chance to show up and do something. He has given up 4 home runs so far. That is second most in spring training, tied with a slew of other pitchers. But he's doing Kenta Maeda things in spring training. I can't get too excited. I know we're paying him a ton of money, all right? That's the deal. You pay him a ton of money, you got to play the guy. That's the problem with these big contracts. These guys just don't show up, and that's like, what do? We've got to play him. We're paying him all this money. You don't sit a good bottle of whiskey on the shelf that you paid $200 for. Even if it tastes crap, you suck it down, you choke it down. And that's what we're doing with Maeda right now. We're choking it down.
Agree 100%. How do you feel about him being a long relief guy? Maybe coming in for 2 innings, 3 innings. similar to what he did in last year's magical finish to the season and that wonderful playoff run.
I love him as an innings eater.
Okay.
Due to him being prone to the long ball, he scares me a little bit. He's prone to the long ball. He can get guys out. I'm not saying he can't get guys out. That's not the deal. He can get guys out. It's just that he gives up the dinger. I wouldn't want to see him come in with like three guys on and one out, or two guys on and out, like the fifth inning to clean stuff up. I don't want to see that. That's probably going to put us in trouble more often than not.
I've got to chuckle because I can't see AJ Hinch putting him in that position.
I think
he opens an inning, say at the bottom quarter, 40% of a lineup, goes through it. If, you know, things are flowing for him. And again, I'm not defending the guy because I have no love affair with him whatsoever. I agree with you more so than disagree. However, he is throwing close to like 8 to 9 miles or miles per hour harder than he was throwing it this time last year.
Tell us something about that. His velocity is up. I don't get too excited.
He showed up in shape.
Maybe he's just fresh.
No, apparently he actually showed up in shape. Apparently in the past, he was a throwback to the Mickey Mantle, Billy Martin 1950s players that would show up and work themselves into shape over spring training. So apparently last spring training,
I thought
he
we
showed
figured
up and
that doesn't
barely
really
hit
work.
80 or 81.
It worked then, but it doesn't work now with these guys. Like, what's he doing all off season long? He's not that big a guy. Is he just not a fit man?
And just enjoying his millions.
I guess so.
Asked me a question, which was who's looking good and then who's not looking that great. Yeah. Again, we're 2 weeks in. However, the usual suspects look great. Riley Green, raking. Kerry Carpenter, raking. Colt Keith, raking. So no real issues there. Pleasant surprise, Justin Malloy, also hitting very, very well. Where to put him is going to be a big question.
I was going to bring him up. You stole him from me. He was going to be my guy. You stole him from me.
Shoot, I'm sorry.
I thought I was going to pull him out of the woodwork.
Max Clark is not raking yet, but has played well, which is, it's a question mark that I'm going to pause for later, but I'm giving you a time to chew on it, is Max Clark ready, and if and when is that? Two guys that really have disappointed that have had an ample opportunity presented before them. I have a retraction from last week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, I was given bad intel and repeated bad intel. I thought Matt Vierling's injury was not that significant. Apparently, he is not going to be an opening day player whatsoever. His injury is much more significant than that. And then what I'm hearing regarding our guy Parker Meadows is there some type of nerve that's pinched or something?
Yeah.
And
issue,
they need it to relax or release. Yeah. So it's one of those any day things, but he hasn't played. So
what if it doesn't relax or release by like July? What are we doing then?
Well, that leads to where I'm going. Creedler has had the best opportunity ever to grab that starting center fielder role and is currently batting 143 and not looking like he's the guy. And then the other position, again, this comes back more to Matt Vierling. This is not a Parker Meadows issue. Chase Young is batting 160 and looks lost. When
I think my biggest, I'm gonna quickly correct you on those two. I believe Creedler is now down to 100 and Young is sub 100 at this point. Neither player is close to the Mendoza line. And I am a little concerned where Creedler, not somebody I'm depending on. Chase Young, bummer. That's a bummer because right now we got to figure out third base. Vierling's injury seems more serious. Chase Young, not hitting, striking out a lot. He's striking out the most on the whole team right now, pretty much. He's the guy. He's got the strikeout trophy at the moment in the first 2 weeks here. Not time to jump off the bandwagon. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I'm just saying he's having a rough spring so far. You were right, though. Justin Henry Malloy perked up. That guy's looking really good. Another guy that you know, he had the pedigree as a prospect. He came from the Braves. We got him in the Joe Jimenez trade, and he came from the Braves, and he was one of their, he was like kind of a guy ascending their prospect rankings there. And now I think he's going to be, I think he's going to be not a regular everyday guy in the outfield. It'll depend on who's healthy. It'll depend on Meadows' nerve. It'll depend on how other guys play and step up. But he could be a key piece out there. Another guy by the name of Jamai Jones, who's done pretty well so far in spring and is trying to win a spot in the outfield. I mean, he and Malloy, Malloy is your left fielder, Jamai Jones, center fielder. Kerry Carpenter is going to have right field lockdown. He, by the way, is still raking for the most part, batting 370 so far. But you've got Jamai Jones out there, too, who's batting 300. He's got a couple dingers. He's got an OPS well above 1,100 so far. 2 weeks, small sample sizes. Don't get too excited, but these are guys that I know, like Jamai Jones, has kind of traveled around a little bit. He's bounced around from team to team. I think he was recently with the Orioles, maybe was his most recent stop. Or maybe Yankees. It was Yankees. Was it Yankees? Okay. I knew it was an AL East team. Either way, those guys are trying to get a spot on the team. So I think you might see a Jamai Jones before you're going to see guys like Bly, Madras, and maybe before you're going to see Justin Henry Malloy, just because he's got the veteran presence. But I would rather they gave it to Malloy. But if Jamai keeps hitting, he may at least get a bench spot for himself one way or the other, be kind of a platoon guy or something.
I have one more for you.
Okay.
Torque is hitting.
So what I like to do is adjust the stats to fit my needs. And Torque is my guy. So I sit here and I play around with the stats. And in the last 15 days, if you do the last 15 days, Torque's batting 250, respectable. If you go to the last 7 days, and this is just a little game I like to play, go to the last 7 days, he's at 333 with a 1,300 plus OPS. This past week, two home runs, couple RBIs. The guy is starting to perk up. He does this to us every year. He's the biggest tease. He does this all the time. He'll start perking up, and then he goes in these troughs of failure, and that's where his career has kind of upended itself. I think in the end, he probably makes this team as like a, you know, first baseman kind of off the bench. Maybe they'll, I don't know what they'll do with him, to be honest. DH him, I have no idea, but I think he makes the team one way or the other. Maybe because they just have a lack of other options at this point.
So my 2 week analysis is starting pitching is absolutely the strength of this team. I think the bullpen is going to come together very, very succinctly and well. Just needs to be given time. Outside of the headliners, meaning the guys we know are going to rake, Green, Carpenter, Colt Keith, I'm worried about batters 6 through 9 most days, and I do have to raise a concern. I am not seeing a lot of Gleyber Torres just yet, and I have to ask you this question. If he is adamant and steadfast that he can only play second base, that is a hindrance to this team right now, given that we're moving Colt Keith from his natural position. Yeah. And I'm looking down the prospective position players that could make the 26-man, and there's a Zach McKinstry that could play second base. Trey Sweeney, I'm sure, could play second base. I know he's a shortstop by trade, but it's just odd that the Tigers' big free agent acquisition happened to be at a position that they could
of massive
very
strength.
Adequately fill. What'd you say?
Of massive strength right now?
Yes. Yes.
Maybe they didn't go in thinking that it was going to be this strong, but a lot of guys have shown up. I want to play another game with you, and then we're going to move on to the next phase here of our
perfect
show. But this game goes back to me liking to toy with the numbers and taking the last 7 days over the last 15 days. The last 7 days, your guy, Javi Baez, has popped. What do you think Javi's batting over the last 7 days? How does 375 with a 1,300 plus OPS look?
I had him at 367.
With a home run in there. Somehow he connected. Somebody must have grooved him a fastball. I don't know. But and of like a half dozen RBIs. I mean, he has jumped off the page in the last 7 days. And I've seen more and more articles about how the Tigers are going to do it this year. They need Javi Baez to kick in. It's like, come on. I get it. We pay him a ton of money, but this is a sunk cost at this point. I don't have a lot of faith in him going forth and keeping this up. And if he does, great. Again, if he does, it helps the team. Excellent. My guy, Theron Lorenzo, batting 400 over the last 7 days. And Gleyber Torres, you just ragged him, but he's also got two dingers, six RBIs, and batting 300 over the past week. Prior to that, he stunk to start spring off. So maybe he's coming back around. I'm with you. I don't like that he locks himself into second base. Like, that just doesn't... I don't know how well that's going to fit on this team. We have a lot of middle infielders and very few first basemen. So at the moment, it kind of does fit because Keith is willing to shift over. I just hope it doesn't hit Keith. We talked about it last week. I hope it doesn't hit him in a bad way with this shift, but we'll see what happens.
Can I propose a wager to you before we move on to our next section?
Yeah, please do.
We're going to do, this is a tradition that you and I started ages ago.
Oh my gosh.
And we a beer and it, a hot dog an inning?
No. Come on now.
It was going to be a different tradition.
We're past that point in our life. Actually, we never should have been at that point in our life. We're going to do dad taking the other guy to the ballpark.
That's a fun one.
And which means it's like your dad takes you when you're 8 years old. You can
pays
get whatever
everything.
You want.
Pays
you know.
For everything.
Yes. And the other guy does it for the loser. Here's the thing. It's between Torque and Baez. Who disappoints us more this year? And you have to sit on one. I'll take the other. And then we're just going to go.
Who disappoints us more?
Yeah.
Man, this is a terrible game. I kind of know who has the chance to disappoint us more. It's not the guy I want to disappoint us more.
All right, maybe we punt on that and let's go to the next.
All right, let's shift gears here a little bit. You touched on the fact that we have all these great pitching options. Well, guess what, buddy? This is the end of your chaos that you love so much. What are your thoughts? I mean, is this the end of chaos for him?
I highly doubt it. That would mean that everybody stays healthy for and misses not a single start. And we're already off to a very warm reception for one Alex Cobb, who is on the wrong side of 35, being paid significant, I think, money. Not inexpensive. It's a one-year deal. Still, the fact that he's already injured and we don't know when he's going to come back. And I mean, it doesn't take, you know, a sports scientist to understand that when you're on the wrong side of 30, injuries take longer to get back from and they're more prevalent. So I think the depth is still a strength. I still think guys are going to miss starts. That's why I think someone like Maeda could have a very significant role on this team, possibly more so than Alex Cobb. And I love the 1 through 4, and we can touch on that in a minute. You know, Skubal, Flaherty, Reese Olson, and potentially Jackson Jobe could be exceptional. Who do you have as your fourth? I see you kind of glancing at
me. Well, I want to touch on what we think our starting rotation is going to be here in a minute.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. You can never have enough pitching. I will say some disappointing things. I want to throw these in here. I know you're not big on roster cuts at this point in time. But
oh, no,
Matt Manning,
I am. And we need
Matt
to talk
Manning's
about Matt Manning.
Cut. Yeah, he got cut. And this is a guy that I honestly thought he was going to surpass Mize prior to last season. I thought we were going to see something out of him. I thought he was going to be the guy, and no such luck with him. And Wilmer Flores, the only reason I bring this up is he's on my fantasy baseball team. I traded for him last year. I got him thrown in a trade last year thinking that I had just won the league, and he has done nothing but Jackson Pollock is bad. It's just terrible. I mean, it's just awful. But at any rate, I wanted to throw those two things out there. They're two significant cuts, but they also might be a sign of how, like, just full up on pitching these Tigers are. I mean, when you got Manning going down, Flores has had injury issues, so really I'm just throwing him in because for selfish purposes. But you got a guy like Manning going down, and he really hasn't been good this spring either. So it's not like they were going to wait and give him every chance possible. They cut bait on him fast, send him straight down to the minors. But What is your starting five? What is your, give me your starting five.
Well, I think I just gave you four of them, and I think
so give me four. So
Casey Mize would be probably your
Mize,
fifth,
you think
but
so?
I don't. Outside of knowing that Scooble and Flaherty will be your 1-2, it's I'd like to think Reese Olson's deserving of the three.
Yeah,
and then Jackson Job, and or you know Casey Mize for that fourth fifth, knowing that one of them's going to get bumped when Alex Cobb comes back.
Yeah.
And then I've got a name for you. He will not make the starting rotation this season unless injuries compound like they did last season. But Urquidy was just signed.
I know. I saw that.
To a very team-friendly deal. So it's $1 million this year. And they get, they being the Tigers, get to rehab him, coach him, see what they can do. And they have a very friendly
yeah.
team option for him for next year at $4 million. So that is, for $5 million, for the normal layman in this world, that is a ton of money.
Yeah.
For a Major League Baseball team,
That's
that is pennies in a bucket in a really, really smart move made by the front office, Harris and his team. And I just really like it. And I'm also going to say I love the Andrew Chafin signing, which was the previous signing to this. In terms of just depth, I you know, he's not ready. Will he be ready by opening day? I don't know, but he's a fun pitcher to watch.
Such a fan favorite.
He's an inning eater. He gets guys out. He's great in clutch situations. He's great out of the stretch. So overall, I guess to answer your previous question, you know, we've got Scooble on the top, Flaherty number two. What do you think 3 through 5? And
Google
Flaherty, part B, can I ask you really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is a 6-man rotation even part of it? I doubt it.
It could be, though. I mean, we're in play for it. It really depends on who that fifth guy is and matchups and who, you know, who that fifth guy might have to go up against and how well they're pitching. I will give you your Scooble, Flaherty. I think number three is going to settle in to being, I think it's going to be Reese Olson. And I think he kind of deserves it after last season.
So we agree.
His metrics were very good. He went something like 0-6 or 1-7, but he had the second best numbers of any rookie pitcher last year. So he was like behind Yamamoto or Imanaga for like half the season or whatever, half the time he was starting. And it was crazy because he was 1-6. He had nothing in the win column to show for it. Not his fault, obviously, and why we don't judge pitchers by wins, but His other metrics, his WHIP, his xFIP, his ERA were all in line and were sensational. So he kind of flew under the radar all season long. But I give it those three. My fourth guy is going to be Job. I think they're going to put him in that four slot. And I think five is a battle between Mize, Maeda, and probably somebody that I'm missing, I'm not even thinking of right now. Who would it be? It's not going to be like a Keiter Montero, but he's pitched terrible. He's another guy they were thinking was going to, you know, pop, but he's been getting hit pretty hard. I think it's between Mize and Maeda. I think that's your two.
Well, I have a follow-up question for you on this. Does Job start in Toledo with the Mud Hens?
That's the other interesting question, right? Service time?
Well, it serves two purposes, service time and the fact that with, just hear me out.
Yeah.
Scooble, Flaherty, Olson, Mize, Cobb, and Maeda. I know Cobb's not healthy
now.
I
totally forgot about Cobb.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Cobb getting healthy makes that five spot even more muddy. And maybe the four spot. Maybe it pushes Job down. Maybe it, yeah. There's still a question as to whether Cobb's going to be healthy enough.
Well, and does Maeda welcome the fact that a bullpen position's better than no position?
Yeah.
I think he does. I think he's pretty well adapted to the fact that he may be a middle reliever, long reliever.
Okay.
I don't think he would complain about that.
I take it you two have been texting often.
There's a lot of things I do for the money. Not at all. There's a lot of things I do for the money he's making. And being a middle reliever wouldn't be so bad, considering the fact that he knows he's not at the top of his game anymore. So he's on the
back
end here. That's true.
For the pen, obviously I'm going to start with my guy, Tyler Horton. I think Will Vest is going to be, you know, on the opening day. Bo Brisky, I like Sean Gunther. I like Brant Herder. I like Brennan Hannity. And then I can't say he's going to be there opening day, but he will be there certainly by Memorial Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, the dog days, Andrew Chafin.
You're really holding out for him. Wouldn't it be amazing to have Andrew Chafin and Jake Rogers on the same team?
That's two furious mustaches.
We would look like the Atlanta Braves circa 78 with all those mustaches and just poor
that
physique.
That might need to be the kitty litter logo if both are performing at any point in time.
That would be amazing.
And get some t-shirts and swag made up.
I think that would be amazing. That
I got a guy.
Back. Okay, go ahead. Who do you have?
Oh, no. I mean, I've got a guy that can help us with the swag.
You've got a guy that can get the swag. Oh. I was like, you got another guy? I'm like, we're throwing more guys out here. Okay, I know you have a swag guy. Will Vest is going to be in there. Bo Brisky's going to be in there. I'm just looking over some guys here. Like, hey, what do you think of Jordan Balasevic? This was a guy who was a top prospect for the Twins for years.
Can we talk about him in a week?
Yes. Yeah, we definitely can. I also
too small sample size, and I've not seen enough to say that I think he'll make it. I agree the pedigree's there. I agree where he was drafted. Prospect, but
totally.
How many guys flame out?
I'm gonna let you marinate, and him. I'm gonna let him marinate, and you marinate on that.
All right. We want to move over to position players?
Let's do our lineup. Let's just get to it. What's the 2025 lineup looking like? Who are we breaking with? Give me your catcher. Who's our starting catcher?
Well, I actually had this 1 through 9. Do you want
you
me
have
to
the
do
whole
that?
Lineup etched out and everything?
Yeah,
go nuts. Do
I
your
mean,
thing.
I try to come prepared.
Go nuts. Do your thing.
All right. I've got Green batting leadoff, playing left field. Torres batting second base. Colt Keith batting third, first base. Kerry Carpenter, right field, batting fourth. Justin Malloy, DH, fifth. Parker Meadows, if healthy, nerve, batting sixth, center field. I have Vierling in this because this is my ideal.
Sure. Ideal.
Yeah. At third base, I've got the mustache. Part one, 1A, Jake Rogers at catcher, and then our guy, Javi Baez, batting ninth at short.
Batting ninth at shortstop. So here's another
aspect. What don't you like about that?
Let me tell you there's an aspect we need to think about here with the Vierling thing. If Vierling is not playing and he's hurt, that means Young will get third base. That means Young is probably going to bat at the bottom of the lineup, pushing Javi up in the lineup more, which, again, if Javi is playing at top Javi abilities of 8 years ago, fine. If Javi is playing as he's played over the last four, I'm not thrilled. So just food for thought on that whole thing, how that lineup switches if some of these guys aren't playing. I don't think Riley Green leads off. I really don't think he's a leadoff hitter. I think they're going to bat Riley Green third and Carpenter fourth right behind him.
Who bats leadoff?
That's an excellent question. I am not 100% sure on that because I don't see it being Keith. I think you probably get a... I'm going to go...
Meadows?
With a... No. Meadows is going to be like a six like you had him. I don't think so. I think you're going to end up going with a Sweeney in the leadoff, an Ibanez, Andy Ibanez, somebody with some speed. Maybe McKinstry if he's playing. Gleyber? Is he a two? Is he really a two in
I
most
have
orders?
Him a two.
Okay.
I don't see a leadoff hitter.
We don't have a natural leadoff hitter. So I see where you're going with Riley because you know at least he'll make contact and be a good at bat.
Well, he also takes pitches.
Yeah.
He takes walks.
But so does Colt. Colt takes some pitches and takes walks.
If Colt were still a second baseman and small Colt, not bulked up Colt,
yeah,
I'd love it. But
I know. And you want to know who's taken the most walks so far on the team? Justin Henry Malloy. But he couldn't be further from a prototypical leadoff hitter. He's about as leadoff hitterish as I am. And that's not very leadoff hittery.
So if let's just say those are our nine. Obviously, Vierling, the injury issue is weighing heavily. And that third base, I am not comfortable at all with Jace Young, what we've seen thus far. Hopefully,
I'm giving him another week to breathe on this.
Well, he has three more weeks to breathe.
I know. He's got all the time.
Yeah.
The world.
Obviously, Torkelson would be in the mix potentially for
Isn't that interesting?
You know, I had Molloy at DH. I've got Keith at first base, so maybe there's some wiggle room there. The guy I mentioned last week, and I'm not going to keep harping on him, but he's pretty steadfast, and he is batting better than our guy, the mustache, Jake Rogers, is Dylan Dingler. The question is how his framing is and the comfort level, and I can see some of the more veteran pitchers favoring Rogers, and so I could see those two platooning. What I just gave you is 27 players, and that includes a bench of Ibanez, Torkelson, Sweeney, and Dingler. So we still have to subtract one from that or remove somebody from the pen. I have Alex Cobb on that as well. So this is barring everybody being healthy, which we have, you know, three injured players right now. Cobb, clearly Vierling, and then, you know, pinched nerve.
I'm going to throw something out there for you for a leadoff guy.
Nerve.
Somebody that may have gone overlooked.
Hmm.
Jamai Jones.
You already mentioned him, and I agree.
And I said he's battling for a spot on the team, but this may give him more. This might be more reason to bring Jamai in.
Yeah, absolutely. My greatest, obviously, leadoff hitters an opportunity. I just am so lacking confidence right now in this team regarding third base with Vierling out for a prolonged period of time and what we've seen from Jace Young thus far. And I know there's a multitude of options for center field, but if that, hypothetically, Riley Green moves over to center field, if that diminishes anything from what he can do at the plate or causes him any amount of discomfort, you know, moving from left field to center field,
sure,
it's not worth doing. So those are the, you know, I keep saying this, starting pitching, the bullpen, I really feel like it's going to come into shape. I still feel like the Tigers are 4 to 6 position players away from truly being an elite team in the American League this year.
I think you're right. I think what happens with this lineup as we go through it here, we look like we're going to have a fairly good top of the order, maybe short of a leadoff hitter, true leadoff hitter, but I think they'll find somebody to fill the role. The bottom of the order gets pretty weak.
Pretty weak.
It's a little scary. Now, if, like the papers say, Baez can play and get going, we got something there. If Young can pull it around, we may have something there. It really depends on whether these guys can take a swing in the right direction and start hitting the ball, or if they just keep this funk going, we'll see. We're only halfway through spring training, so we're getting kind of nuts about this stuff already, and we're only 2 weeks in.
Okay,
or
Dad,
three.
It sounds like you're going to fall on the hockey sword. It sounds like Torque's my guy for the year.
No way. I
can't wait to go to the ballpark
on
your dime.
Anybody else. Anybody. Not, no. Javi is not going to be my guy that keeps me from winning or losing a bet.
You know I'm poking
That's
the
awful.
Bear. All right, what else you got for me, Chip?
You know, we're kind of running down on it. I wanted to talk about, for our last thing here, I kind of wanted to harken back to our free agency conversation last week. I read something earlier this week that I believe it may have been a Freep article or it was a SI article or something that Bregman never really wanted to come to the Tigers after all. So now you got Bregman, Arenado saying they don't want to come to the Tigers. Tigers need a third baseman. And apparently the entire time they were kind of courting a few other players for other positions, outfield, namely, I think Santander that went to Toronto, formerly the Orioles. He had an incredible season last year. Kind of one of those things where I don't think he'll repeat again. So I'm kind of glad we avoided paying him out based on what he did last year. But there are other players that I think that they were kind of looking at that got sucked up in free agency before we could get out from underneath the Bregman back and forth. So he essentially kind of hung them and hung them and hung on and hung on and hung on, and the Tigers missed other opportunities. If these guys don't want to come play, I mean, it takes two to tango. The Tigers made, in the end, what should have been a richer offer. These days, AAV, the average yearly pay, is like what everybody's looking at, right? And that's the big number. So 3 years at $30 million a year is better than 6 years at $150 or whatever, because they're looking at it as a yearly thing. What are your thoughts here? Is this keeping these teams in the middle, even the middle market? I mean, Detroit's not a small market team. They're a middle market team, if not sometimes a big market team. Is this keeping these teams from being able to sign these free agents? What is the deal here? Like, what is it? How are they going to compete? Drafting? Fans hate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the secret to every sport is drafting well and retaining your own talent. We know that. That being said, let's just put it in this context. If money is no object, what would be the three cities that you'd most gravitate towards?
I can tell you right now, it's the big three. I mean, it's going to be LA, New York, Chicago. If I'm a ball player, marketing is a big deal.
I don't know that I'd put Chicago in it. Actually,
really?
I would say.
Well, I'm biased.
No, New York.
I love Chicago.
LA, San Diego, San Francisco, Miami would probably be your. I mean, if you've got tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Is Atlanta in there? Do you find Atlanta to be in there somewhere?
It's not my cup of tea, but that doesn't mean that it's not
Philly,
other guys. But
Philly
they seem
to
go more
well.
Homegrown. I mean, you know, Freddie Freeman went to greener pastures out in L.A. once he, you know, could sign.
Either way,
that's
we
one
know
guy,
L.A.
But...
and New York are the top ones, and then like Boston. There's other fringe big cities, right? There's other ones that sit on outside that seem to get players before the, I mean, Detroit's and the Cincinnati's and the Pittsburghs, the Kansas City's, even the Texas Rangers can struggle at times. They seem to get guys to come play for them. They throw tons of money at players, but like Seattle struggles to get the big names.
So can I throw my theory out?
Yeah.
How long were the Tigers irrelevant from basically 1987 until 2006?
I would say that's accurate. 88 to 2006, yeah.
So they lost not only a generation, but next generation.
Generation.
I mean,
and
that's
a half,
two generations that you lost.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that.
You know, other mid-market teams, I mean, I would put the Indians, or excuse me, Guardians. I think we've done that 2 weeks in a row. That's hysterical. Let's just call them the Indians on this pod. So the Indians, you know, the Reds, I think, deal with the same thing. The Pirates deal with it. They might be smaller market. You know, even the Cardinals are having trouble signing guys these days, you know? They swung big with Arenado and Goldschmidt, and then it's been quiet. Now, that could be ownership and lack of willingness to spend, but, you know, and you and I are biased because we grew up in the Great Lakes and know how wonderful Detroit can be. You know, again, I think it's a generational thing, and I think the Tigers lost a lot of fans. They lost a lot of buzz just being bad for that long, and I think...
Okay,
three
so you
more
think
seasons
if they do
like
what they
last
did last season,
season?
Okay,
I
so
think
you're saying...
I think it's going to turn around.
I see.
You know, Michigan's not as tax-heavy as, say, a Massachusetts or an Illinois. It's not as friendly, or let alone California or New York. It's certainly not as friendly as a Texas or an Arizona or Florida. That being said, you know, it kind of falls in the middle on that. And you and I know, and most Tiger fans know, pretty much everybody that would listen to this, Detroit is, in Michigan, is an amazing sports state, an amazing sports town when fans are given a product that deserves their attention. And I think we're, you know, on the cusp of it, meaning the Lions are rolling right now. The Tigers gave everybody a thrill last year. The Pistons are finally coming out of their doldrums, and who knows what's going to happen with the Red Wings. But that being said, I think it's more that than probably anything else. You know, look at like another, here's one, the Nationals. Like, shouldn't that be a destination? And you don't see free agents.
I would think so.
I mean, they...
Is it because the ownership doesn't want to pay for it? Is it because players don't want to get... Like, there's a difference between those two things. One side of it is the owners don't even try. And then the other side of it is, it's an owner that's trying, going out there trying to pay guys, and they just, they can't get them to show up. They just use them as bait, you know? They use them to drive up the price. And so it kind of screws over that team two ways. They don't get the player, and they lose out on others they could be going and putting that money towards.
So going back to the Bregman, he went where he's hit the best historically
in his career.
We talked
about it. I mean, statistically, it was there, but...
And he's betting on himself. His agent is Scott Boras, who does business a little differently than, or very differently than a lot of agents would do. And we'll see how this plays out. I still think the Tigers may have dodged a contract that they would be not Javi Baez upset with, but I'm not sure as fans, years 5 and 6, we'd be thrilled with what was offered to Bregman. Sure. Just We don't know.
We'll see what happens. I don't know.
We'll track it.
And
every
I don't want
week.
Him to play here if he doesn't want to play here. Like, the last thing you want is an unmotivated player who comes for the cash and then flames out after a couple seasons. But we'll see what happens with it all. We'll see where we stand.
All right.
Bill, I got nothing else for you today. This is episode 2 for me right here.
Perfect. I think it's a perfect signing off time.
I think
it was great seeing you.
So good seeing you, Billy. Good talking Tigers, bud.